microphone on there. And Brother Joe's certainly thankful to be with you this morning. Move that down just a little bit further. Grateful to be with you all this morning. It is a blessing to be here. Thankful for it. And during the introductory remarks, Brother Joe made a comment that stirred my mind to this particular text. And 2 Timothy in the 2nd chapter in the 10th verse, Paul says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." The word "also" means "in addition to." That's what "also" means. So "also" means that we'd have this along with that. So we pay close attention to what he says. He says, "I endure all things for the elect's sake." Now, he makes this statement unequivocally, no doubts about it. He says, "for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So Paul shows us here, there is a salvation that we can have, which is in Christ Jesus, to go along with, or in addition to, that's what the term "also" means, eternal glory. Now, one of the things I want you to understand is, we had nothing to do with the securing of eternal glory. If we did, it would not be secured. But Jesus Christ himself has offered himself once unto God, and hath forever perfected those that he loved. However, and those that he loved are the elect's sake, right? The elect. That's what he's talking about. But the consideration that I want you to understand is that there's something that goes along with that that we can have right now that sustains us while we live here. There's some right now kind of salvation taught in the Bible. I mean, think about this. I'll just give you this one example. If this one's the only one I give you, then it ought to make you look at the rest of them, and you'll have to examine, is that a right now kind of deliverance, or is that an eternal kind of deliverance? Because every time the word salvation is used, it's not talking about eternity. For instance, children of Israel delivered across the Red Sea. And you know what happens in the Red Sea. In the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his whole host of army is chasing and pursuing after them. There's a pillar of cloud goes to, and a pillar of fire that separates Pharaoh's army from that of Israel. When they get across on the other side, Moses says, "You tell them," and this is a very interesting time, "you tell them to turn around and stand still." There's very few times in the Bible does the Lord tell us to stand still. He says the law and the prophets were until John, and ever since that time, every man presseth into the kingdom. That means moving forward. I mean, when you think about the armor of God, it is a chest. Everything that we have is for moving forward. If you turn your back, there's nothing to protect you. There's just two leather straps. There's a breastplate goes here. It's for going forward into battle. But on this day, the Lord says, you tell them to turn around and stand still and look upon the salvation of the Lord this day, the deliverance of the Lord this day. You're going to be delivered from an enemy that will never, ever pursue you again. Because why? They were swallowed up in the Red Sea. The same thing that was a deliverance for Israel was a condemnation for Pharaoh's army. There's a beautiful picture in that. You go over the New Testament. There's an Old Testament. Salvation of the Lord this day. Go into the New Testament, and there's a reference made about the long-suffering of the Lord. But he compares a baptism. He compares baptism with a deliverance that was experienced during the flood. He says, "wherein 8 souls were saved by water." He is referencing the flood. He says, "the like figure," he says, "just like that, whereunto baptism doth also now save us." Now, there's a now saving right there. And it's just like the saving and deliverance that Noah and his family experienced. Let me pose this question to you. Was Noah and his family lifted all the way up to glory? Well, if that had happened, we would not be here today. They were lifted up above some destruction and they were set back down. They were delivered from the punishment that was poured out upon the face of the earth. He says, "the like figure," just like that, "whereunto baptism doth also now save us." This is a right now kind of salvation. And he says, "not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." Water can't wash away the filth of the flesh. Now, I make those remarks to make this, because I want to come back around to where we're going to this morning. I want you to know that there are blessings in obedience. And there's chastisement in disobedience. There are blessings for God's children while we live here. There are benefits. He doth daily load us with benefits. Not only are there blessings and benefits, but I want you to know that there are deliverances that we see, and yes, His grace is sufficient. You know, the Apostle Paul besought the Lord that he might remove this thorn in the flesh. You know what the Lord said? My grace is sufficient for thee. That's why Paul said, whatever circumstance, whatever condition, whatever position we find ourselves, therewith be content. Be content with whatsoever it is, knowing and trusting in the one who has delivered, is delivering, and will yet deliver. All right, so as we go along those lines, keeping that in mind, I want to turn to the fourth chapter of John. In the fourth chapter of John, this is something that's not uncommon to any of us. I know that we've read this many times, probably preached on it here, but there's a part of this that's just got a hold to me, and it hadn't turned me loose yet, so till it turns me loose, I'm not going to turn it loose. In the fourth chapter of John, it says, when therefore, I'm going to skip on down. He says, the Lord, He left Judea, departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria. Now, if you back up to Matthew 10 and 4, He sent His apostles out. He says, look, you go out. He said, but you don't go in unto the Gentiles, nor any of the cities of the Samaritans. He's told them, you don't go speak to these people. You go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. But here the Lord says, I must needs go through Samaria. Now, these people have heretofore been excluded from anything that is taking place because the Lord sent the apostles to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. He said, you don't go to the Gentiles. You don't even go to the city of the Samaritans. But now the Lord says, I must needs go through Samaria. Well, that's a good thing for us, brethren. But He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, I want you to think about this piece of ground and this parcel. First of all, Abraham's done gone over and walked over all this land. He was born roughly 2,000-something years B.C. Jacob's born about 1791 B.C. Puts things in perspective. That's a long time. 1,791 years before, and it's going to be a little before that, of this time right here, because you've got to add 30 years. The fact of the matter is, it's been close to 2,000 years ago. This purchase was made. This land was bought, and a well was dug. He's given us some perspective of how long this thing's been here. He comes to the city of Samaria. All right, so the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. He references this as Jacob's well. I know that Jacob was born roughly 1,800 years before this takes place, and Jacob has dug this well. This is an old well. This well has been there a long time. I mean, think about this. We think about last year, I guess, year before last, 2020, church I was previously pastoring, celebrated 200 years, second oldest church in the state of Alabama, 200 years. If I'm not mistaken, the oldest church in the state of Mississippi was formed in 1806, if that doesn't, my memory doesn't escape me, and that's Salem Church over in Natchez. And we think, man, that thing's been there over 200 years. That's awesome. This well's been there close to 2,000. To give you an idea of longevity of something. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, thus sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This is what I want to get to, is this piece right here in the 11th verse. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. This is a bad condition. Can you imagine? Apparently, let's get the rest of this. Let me get the rest of this, and then we'll make our remarks. The woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She's saying to him, you're standing here at a well that is extremely deep, and you don't have anything to draw with. How in the world you'll starve to death? You'll die of thirst before you can ever get any of that well out of water out of that well. Because it's deep. All right, now let's look at a natural perspective. From a natural perspective, what does this mean? The type of terrain and soil, you know, I was talking to a guy the other day. They have crews that work in Tennessee. They have crews that work down here. We were visiting. He said, man, the neatest thing I saw, he said, we were down in Louisiana working some restoration. He said, those guys take a pole, set it out there, and they vibrate the pole into the ground. He said, you would never do that in Tennessee. Why? Because the terrain's much different. It's very rocky terrain. So when you think about digging a well, I want you to think about the terrain of where this well was dug. This well just didn't pop in the ground. They didn't come out there and set up a derrick and drill this well. This well was a labor-intensive effort. And it was a labor of love, because not only was he going to drink from it, but everybody that came through there was going to drink from it, and all of his offspring are going to drink from this well. This well is going to be a source of water from everybody in the remainder of his lineage. It's pretty cool. But it was hard work. You had to dig down. Here's the other thing. She said the well is deep. That's what I want to contemplate. This well is deep. One thing that means, it took a whole lot of work to get down to where the water was. But another thing this means, I was watching this show one time. I do like some things on Discovery and some things on History, but you got to sift it, because they definitely missed the mark on a lot of things. But this one particular thing. There was this guy that had been dropped into this arid desert type area, and he was surviving in this arid environment. And I was like, this is going to be interesting to watch. Well, he goes down into one of these box canyons, and he finds a little bit of water in the bottom of one of these box canyons. And he says, this is going to be a pretty good place to dig a well. Of course, he couldn't drink from where that was, because every creature living in that area knew where that water was, and they were drinking from the same water. And they're not as peculiar about how they take care of their water as we are. So he goes over to the side, and he digs a well. And he digs down, and he walls up all at the same time. So you got to dig down and build up at the exact same time. And there's so many things we can look at in that. But moving forward, he digs down, he walls up. And as the dry time starts coming, he's like, I think that's plenty deep enough. Because he dug below where the water level was. But the longer he was there, the lower the water got in the well. And then eventually, it got to a point that it was so dry that he came there to where he dug his well. He removed the stone off the top of it so he could see down in there, and there was no water in the well. All right, so from a natural perspective, when you come to a well that has been in existence for almost 2,000 years, it's extremely deep. You know why it's that deep? Because there's been some really dry times back there in history. And there were some brethren that said, you know what, the well may not be deep enough. We have to dig just a little bit deeper. What I want you to know about this well has stood the test of time. This particular well, no matter how dry, no matter what the situation or condition, there was always water in this well. Because this well was dug to a depth to be able to sustain them through whatever condition or situation they were in. Now, that's just the natural well. Now, when you look at the spiritual aspect of what is said to this woman, it changes the whole perspective. I mean, the fact that this well's been there roughly 2,000 years, the fact that this well is dug deep enough that no matter what your circumstance, no matter how dry it may be, no matter the drought conditions or pestilence, there's always water in this well because it was dug to be there and sustain them through all of those circumstances. I'm going to tell you, it's hard work digging that well. But here's what the Lord says. This is why it's so easy to take for granted sometimes. This is why it's so easy to just look past those benefits. This is why it's so easy to not truly appreciate the grace and the love that has been shed abroad in our hearts. Because when the Lord gives us something in this aspect, it's something you don't have to work for, Brother James. Ain't that amazing? Oh, they had to work hard to dig that well. But look what the Lord says in verse 13. He said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. I got news for you. In a temporal sense, the deliverances that we experience, there's going to be times in your life when you feel like you are about to die of thirst. There's going to be times of great refreshing in your life, and there's going to be times of droughts, and there's times that you're going to come here and you're going to drink up some water and you're going to leave, and guess what? You're going to get thirsty again. There's times I don't even make it to Monday. I don't know about y'all. I'm just talking about me. There's times I can't make it to Monday without being just about ate up with the old flesh and the dryness thereof. And it's a continual fight. And we come to this well, and I'm going to tell you what, when you come to wells like this, little oases that have been blessed, it's because there's some brethren, your forefathers and my forefathers and your forefathers' forefathers all the way back. There were some brethren that was prepared to do whatever it takes so that my children and my children's children have a place to come back to and drink from the same well that we drank from. And in a temporal sense, enemies many times would come in and they would fill in the wells that Abraham had. And Jacob would go back and dig them out. And I'm going to tell you, in our life, sometimes we've got to dig out some wells. In our life, I'm talking about from us, in a personal standpoint, sometimes we got to dig some things out. We got to get some things out of the way. We got to get some flesh out of the way. And that's really what that is. You think about it. I'm going to tell you, from dust we came, and to dust we shall return. And sometimes you got to dig the dirt out of the way. Because when you dig the dirt out of the way, you expose something that's really, really precious. Something that's good. It's good for you and good to you. This water is refreshing, but it's a water you have to labor for. There is a rest that we have as the heirs of God that we have to labor to enter into. But then there's a rest that the Lord has given us that we don't labor to enter into. There's a water that we partake of that we don't have to dig, and we'll never thirst again. I want some of that water, right? I mean, that's what she's thinking. Hey, man, I want some of that water. Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. I got news for you. You'll come to the Lord's house, you'll leave rejoicing, and you'll feel like you're full, and you ever been there? You're drinking out of the saucer. That means just your cup's overflowing and you're drinking out of the saucer. You wish you could bottle some of it up and carry it with you, but you can't. It's kind of like listening to meeting on a... I went one time to this meeting. I'm telling you, it was glorious, Brother James. It was one of the best meetings I've been to in my life. I still remember to this day. I'm telling you, the Lord's presence was made manifest in a mighty and miraculous way. And we rejoiced. I'm telling you, it was good. There was folks shouting. I mean, it was awesome. And we left, and I said, man, it was about a 12-hour drive to get back home. They said, Brother Luke, you want a CD? I said, yeah, man, I'm going to rejoice in that on the way to the house. And I put it in on the way home, and I was like, yeah. You can't capture the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, can you learn something? Yeah, you can learn something. Don't get me wrong. You can learn something. But you can't taste of the goodness of the Lord the way you can when you're there. You can't taste that. He said, whoever's drinking this water shall thirst again. Guess what? My cup was running over. I felt like I couldn't have drank another drop. And it went about 2 days. I thought I was going to starve to death. That's the way it works in life, isn't it? He says, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him. This is not a water that you have to dig a well for. This is a water that the Lord gives you. And not only does He give you this water, it shall, I shall give him, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want you to know the wells we drink from here are deep. And sometimes you gotta labor, but there's some water that the Lord's given us, and this water is the water that's springing up. When water springs up, you don't have to dig down. You don't have to get anything out of the way. And what He's given us and placed within us is a well of water that springs up. And I got good news for you. When you experience that and you taste that, and you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, this springing up water, one day, this same Spirit that gave you that spring up, that life, one day, because He sprung up, guess what? We're going to as well. Oh, it's good to have this water that springs up. But it's a reminder, brethren, that there's coming a day. And it's just a little while. Just a little while. Just a little while. And we're going to spring up. And we'll never have to spring up again after that day we spring up. In a temporal sense, this well is deep and you've got to work really hard to get to it. In an eternal sense, He's given you something you didn't work for. He said He gave it. He gives it, and it bursts forth. It springs up. You don't have to dig down. He calls it forth. Man, we can rejoice in that, and there's a rest in that. But while you rest in that, don't forget, you're still in a temporal state. I can't wait till we all get there. When we get there, there won't be no need for preachers. Isn't that amazing? I know there's some kids thinking, yes! No preachers when we get to heaven. You won't have to have preachers when you get to heaven, but you need preachers now. Why? Because we need to be reminded time and time and time again, because we let some things slip, Brother Joe. We forget some things we need to hold on to, and we hold on to things that we shouldn't hold on to. That's why there's some things we need to be reminded. We need to dig out so we can get to this fresh, cool, refreshing water in a temporal sense. Knowing that in an eternal sense, an eternal aspect, the Lord has placed something within you that springs up. And He's a very present help in times of trouble. And I'll tell you, He can deliver us and He can succor us and He can comfort us in whatever drought you might be facing. Why? Because it don't matter how low the water gets, He can call the water forth. May we praise Him and worship Him. And may we not take for granted the sweetness of the wells of Zion that the Lord hath planted Himself, our elder brother, our forerunner, and the first fruits. And may we not neglect the opportunities we have to come and taste of the goodness of being an heir of the Most High. May the Lord bless us, our prayer.